1690 AM, Montreal.
You're listening to CJLO News. Monday, October 20th, pro-Palestinian protesters gathered outside of a Montreal mayoral leadership debate on Notre Dame Street West, hoping to get questions about Gaza on the agenda. While inside, candidates debated issues ranging from cycling infrastructure to housing outside. Protesters chanted and delivered speeches. Here is protester Rama Al-Mallah with the Palestinian Youth Movement.
We are here today at yet another mayoral event where the three party leaders are debating without Gaza being on the agenda. We are here today to demand once again that our candidates pledge on the platform.
The activists are calling on the candidates to take inspiration from former Montreal Mayor Jean Doré, who adopted a resolution cutting ties with South Africa during its apartheid regime in the 1980s. 35 years ago, Mayor Doré also established an anti-apartheid committee in Montreal to investigate and cut contracts with businesses that might be doing business with apartheid South Africa. Today, in 2025, pro-Palestinian activists want to see a similar approach taken toward Israel, a country that the International Court of Justice says is responsible for apartheid. Here is activist Raim speaking at another protest earlier this month discussing why she thinks Gaza is a valid issue at the municipal level.
When we say that we want to put Palestine on the agenda, we're saying that this is not a foreign issue. This is not happening, you know, across the world. Canada and Montreal is involved in this war just as much. And we have a role to, you know, end our complicity.
She says Montreal candidates could also pledge to refuse permits to companies that manufacture weapons, like General Dynamics, whose Montreal plant in Repentigny shipped military equipment to Israel as recently as July.
These are companies that are in our backyard, and we need to cut all permits, all ties with these companies in order to put pressure on Israel to end this genocide.
Craig Sauvay, the mayoral candidate for Transition Montreal, has aligned himself with the demands of these protesters, saying he would commit to ending these permits. Luc Rabouin, the mayoral candidate for the incumbent Projet Montréal, has said he supports a two-way arms embargo and stated in a council meeting earlier this month he would look into what tools the city had at its disposal to influence peace in Gaza.
Prêt à évaluer tous les leviers dont la ville dispose pour contribuer à mettre fin à la situation terrible qui arrive en ce moment en Palestine.
Soraya Martinez-Ferrada, the mayoral candidate for Ensemble Montréal, who is currently favored in the polls, said at a press conference in September she feels candidates' positions on Palestine should not affect their ability to address local issues.
On peut avoir des positions très différentes sur le conflit à Israël, à Gaza. Mais ce qui est important à Montréal, c'est de s'assurer que ces positions-là personnelles ne viennent pas teinter comment on veut gérer la ville.
With files from Jules Bugel, I'm Adam Innes with the Local Journalism Initiative.
Me and Mrs. Jones.
Hello, hello, hello.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Welcome back to
Death of the Mid-Range. Happy Monday. Happy Monday, everybody.
Happy Monday. Okay. I am your host, Maximilian Kalinescu.
And I'm Libas Sikoela Diallo. And just so happy to have you guys on this beautiful Monday morning.
It is a beautiful Monday.
It's getting cold, Montreal.
Yep.
Get your coats out.
It is absolutely getting cold, and I want to say today before that we start, before that we start. Not before we start. Before that we start.
Yes, sir.
I've been writing too many papers trying to fill in like the word count. We are in the middle of funding drive season for CJLO. And if you like the show and want to support us, the best way to do that is to keep us able to do the show.
Hey, support your local radio,
support
man.
Support your show local college radio. And in saying that, if you go to CJLOfundingdrive.com, you can get a list of ways to help us. Moreover, there it is, essay again.
Yeah, right? Furthermore,
we are hosting a trivia night at Star Bar on October 29th at 7 p.m. if you want to come flex your musical trivia knowledge.
Even if you're not in Montreal. Even for all my people in the U.S., you better be there.
You better be there at Star Bar. We also have Divas Night at La Sala Rosa. Doors open at 7:30. There is a costume contest. You can book your tickets through the CJLOfundingdrive.com. And then there's also a mixtape launch event at Bar Willis on November 5th. At 7 p.m. If you want to listen to some of the artists that we've had in the studio over the years, I'm going to repeat that. Trivia bar or trivia night at Star Bar, October 29th, 7 p.m. Divas Night, November 1st, Sala Rosa, doors at 7:30. And it's a $20 entry for the costume contest. And then there's the mixtape launch event at Bar Willis on November 5th. Doors open at 7. So, that's about it. I just wanted to shout out the funding drive and make sure that you all know that we would love your support. We have a goal of reaching $15,000, and if you contribute, that would be freaking awesome, man.
All we need is $14.50. That's all we need.
Someone got to get on that,
Come on. Also, before we start, I just wanted to say a big old thank you to all the people that have been listening on...
Yeah, the support has been crazy.
Not only on the radio, but on the streaming platforms, on Spotify, Apple Music, what have you. And I think it's been really special, and I just want to say a big old thank you to everybody who's tuning in.
Absolutely. Thank you for everyone tuning in. We were shocked by the amount of people that were on the Spotify listen so quickly after publishing it. It really means the world to us. We really enjoy doing this every Monday morning, and I hope that comes across.
Yeah, and enough pleasantries now. Yeah,
enough pleasantries. There you go. Write paper writing.
It was
enough pleasantries.
It was back to school week for all the NBA players, and what a week!
Right, guys. The NBA season has started.
Yeah,
I don't know how we didn't say that to start.
It's back, and it's been insane. There's been sophomores breaking out. There has been rookie classes showing their style.
And before anything, there has been hairlines rubbing out, bro.
That's y'all better leave my man Jaylen Brown alone, bro. Better leave him alone. Trying to carry that damn team.
I would leave him alone if it was a one-time incident. Bro, it happened again in Detroit, bro. God, just stop wearing the line is clean, bro.
And that's what we bring you guys. Just, really good NBA information.
For those who don't know.
so much happened this week, and we're going to do our best to bring you the best information, the ones that we liked the most, what we didn't like as much. I didn't even ask you, Max, how you doing today, man? You ready to get into this?
I'm so ready to get into the NBA season. I only start that off as a joke. For those that don't know, Jaylen Brown was playing against the Knicks, and his hair.
I don't think that's even legit.
His head. Real. It was.
I don't think, there's no way there's that much spray on your head that it rubs off on a jersey. I'm being so for real. From a person who has gotten their hairline sprayed a little bit, it can't be that much, bro.
Well, who knows?
Who knows? We'll have to have him on the show.
We'll have to have him on the show.
Anyways, man. I'll let you get first pick. What do we want to talk about first?
I think the most pressing thing to talk about. Victor Wembanyama. okay. God
leave Victor. What is happening to you? I will read you the stats for the people that don't know. through three games in this first week. Not only on the Spurs 3-0, Mr. Victor is averaging 33 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, and 6 blocks a game.
That's dirty. Hey,
Victor, who are you, man?
Who are you?
It's been really impressive. I watched his debut against the Mavericks, against a team that is kind of supposed to make him struggle. Really big team, and the domination was just insanity. Yeah. His 3-point attempts kind of went down. He cut it in half. He was just in the paint being a bully.
And I think that comes with trying to play winning basketball. What I really liked is post first game when he dropped 40, 15, and a million other stats is that on Anthony Davis too, which is like I think very notably they played Dallas, who we'll get into later. But that is one of the biggest lineups in the league, yeah. Discounting Houston. And he didn't even flinch. Like, he was bodying people.
He wanted to body people.
And what was so impressive about that, and I think that comes with winning basketball, I don't think the Spurs expected to really make any footing last year. And you watch that in Wemby just trying to develop his game.
Mm-hmm.
At later parts in the season, he was jacking up a bunch of threes, which is pissing a lot of people off because they're like, why are you such a dominating presence in the paint, but yet you are on the perimeter chucking?
9 attempts a game last year.
Wait.
9 attempts. Yeah. And he shot 35%.
But that's okay because you can tell that it got refined this year.
Yeah.
In case you didn't know, if you look at the highlight of last night, him getting 2 blocks in a row, dribbling down the court and pulling it from the logo.
A FU3. As we call him.
The FU3. But I'm just so impressed, too. I was impressed by the preseason, but I wasn't going to let my hype get to me. It is only the third game of the season. But what I wanted to say is that what I was very impressed with in his post-first game press conference, he said, I don't want to take this for granted.
Yeah.
And I think him being injured with a blood clot injury made him realize that, hey, you know what? I might be one of the most talented people to ever go into the NBA, but who knows how long I can do this for. Right?
And that's a really good point, yeah.
And in the first game, I mean, the drive, like, he wanted to kill them.
No, that and it's like really accepting the challenge and stepping up and, mm-hmm. and wanted to get into Lively's chest and, yep. and, you know, get into Anthony Davis' chest. And I think a lot of the times in his earlier seasons, you either let contact impact you or you just go straight at it. And when you do that, when you initiate contact, then you're in control. Yeah. Right. And I hope the narrative also doesn't become that Wemby equals Spurs, because there's also been a lot of internal improvement.
Absolutely.
Stephon Castle has yeah. been so impressive on both ends. Dylan Harper has just come in and looked like a veteran right away off that bench.
100%. And in the ways that they clearly practice, well, throwing a lob to Wemby isn't exactly the most difficult or challenging thing.
I could do it.
I think but most me and of coach. Us could. But just a lot of the reads that I was seeing, very impressive.
So impressive.
And the connection. I also want to shout out Devin Vassell.
Yeah.
The other night he had 6 threes. That's not what we expect.
Not an easy roll.
Yeah.
Like we talked about.
It might have been 5. I don't know. I saw a number that looked like 5 or 6. Yeah,
but like we talked about, for him and Keldon Johnson to go from being, you know, premier guys to now having more reserve roles behind Wemby.
Yeah.
It's not an easy transition, and they've really, really, really accepted it. And also a little shout out to Luke Kornet. Who's really come in and
French been, vanilla.
Yeah, been a great vet, and yep. that double big lineup has worked so great. Obviously, we'll try not to overreact, but if the Spurs can keep this up, they are very competent on all aspects of the floor.
Well, I also think that they're just – when both of us were talking about the Lakers and the Bucks in our predictions,
yeah.
we had them high because we were talking about how they elevate a team.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us were really thinking about the concept of floor raising when it comes to Victor Wembanyama.
Because crazy. Now that you think about it, it's crazy.
Right? Because all of us were like, oh, yeah, he's really good, but the team, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he is the reason why their offense is good and their defense is disgusting. Yeah. So it's the reign of Victor Wembanyama is among us.
And it starts now, and buy your tickets because it's going to be a long show.
Yeah, and I think it's going to keep going. I think this season, even if they get anywhere, I don't think they will, but if they get anywhere within the top five seeds, he has a great chance of winning the MVP.
I hope. I mean, had him in my honorable mentions. I think that now it's like materializing for real. But, you know.
Anyways, I think we're going to go to a quick little show promo ad break, and we will be back with you.
Hey, we got way more for you. Stay tuned.
Yeah, please, please stay tuned. We love you.
You're horrid, you're ghastly, and I love you true. So here are some presents I'm sending to you.
If you consider yourself a goblin, ghost, or a ghoul, then you should listen to Deadbeats on Fridays from 3 to 4 with your ghost at the most, me, Pretty Dead Boy. I play most things emo and alternative, and I promise it's just to die for.
You're the coolest little monster that ever put the spook on me.
Prepare for the fright of your life, because this Halloween, Ballroom is taking you sinners to church.
Spooky! Godfather Silver Old Navy and Auntie Mag's Old Navy present the What the Halloween Kiki Ball. It'll be a spooktastic night of tricks, treats, and vogue, Miss Thing. Looking to satiate your ghoulish cravings? Auntie D's Kitchen will be serving up their famous patties, refreshments, and, for one night only, a special Halloween platter. And they're not the only ones who will be serving it up, honey. With paranormal performance, fearsome fashion, and creepy creations never before seen, it'll be a night to die for. We've got Moonstar 007 and Mag's Old Navy on MC duty, and Father Cherry KFC on the decks. Join us on Friday, October 31st at 6 p.m. in the St. Edward Church basement at 425 Beaubien East for a Halloween you'll never forget. For more information on tickets and event details, follow the Montreal Kiki Ballroom Alliance on socials at MTL_KBA. CGLO is a proud partner / co-presenter of the What the Halloween Kiki Ball.
What the Halloween? Be spooky or get spooked.
At the end of it all, it's you. It's you.
Yo, what up? It's Q-Tip right here. You tuned in 1690 AM CJLO, you know? That's how we do it.
Welcome back. If you're listening to us live on air, you just got a shout-out from Q-Tip.
Hope you like that. Hope you like that.
That thing, I think, was from, like, 2001.
Back in the day, bro.
Back in the day.
But, yeah, we done just glazed Wemby. Yeah. For like 10 minutes. It was nice.
It was good. It was worth it. I think what we should talk about now, high lows.
Rookie class?
Okay. Yeah, let's do rookie class.
Yeah. Impressive. Wow.
Yeah.
These dudes look like they've been in the league for thousands of years.
As Charles Barkley once famously said.
God, you.
These young boys.
I feel like every episode we say that.
These young boys coming.
Hey, they
coming.
They coming and they ready to take over. I mean, they got started literally from the first game with VJ Edgecombe dropping a cool little 34, you know, in the garden, in the TD garden.
Can you tell me that statistic you told me?
Yeah, I said
before we started the radio show.
Like 2 minutes before we started, I told Max he is averaging 20.5 shot attempts per game.
20 shot attempts as a rookie.
He is not scared. He's averaging 24 points. He has been so good for them on both ends of the floor, and he's had to step up. Jeremy McCain is out. Paul George is out. Embiid is on a minutes restriction.
Yep.
Max, he can't do it all by himself, you know? He's going to need help. And he's
but
really
he looks so polished. Is I think my big takeaway from that. Sorry, I cut you off. But
no, you're good.
My big takeaway is just how polished his game looks.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think anybody was expecting him to be this fantastic this early on. Yeah. He looks more comfortable than any other rookie on the floor.
And it's weird because the knock on him before the draft was that we know he's going to be a good all-ball defender, but how good can his offensive game look? And on ball, he's looked so good driving to the rim, pulling up, even shooting threes willingly, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, again, it just goes back to what people say about, you know, draft stocks and whatever and knocks on people. It don't matter. Even Jeremiah Fears was, like, so hated pre-draft, and he's had such a good beginning of his, you know.
Absolutely. Career. And I think what's been really interesting with VJ is that this is one of the first times I feel like we're watching someone that's so hungry. Like, he looks hungry, right? Mm-hmm. Like we were saying with the first Victor game, he looks like he wants to be out there and he wants to murder you, which, you know, is something that is a little, maybe we're too unk when I say this, but like maybe that comes with Death of the Midrange as a concept. But it's really refreshing to see how hungry someone can be, yeah, rather than just like taking a backseat because they know their talent will get them out of a situation. Not for sure. And speaking of talent, guys, I had a great time watching the first half of the Toronto Raptors versus Dallas Mavericks game last night.
Mm.
Halftime ended.
Unk's already asleep.
That boy, yeah, Unk was actually passed out.
Unk was passed out in front of the TV.
Unk woke up and watched a white man fly. Because holy Cooper Flag woke up.
Yeah.
And so did the Dallas Mavericks last night.
Finally.
I mean, we're three games in and going finally. For sure. But I had them at the sixth seed the first two games. They look like a 12th seed.
Yeah.
They woke up, though, and before I get into the Dallas, well, no, I'll get into Dallas here, but I was going to say the Raptors looked really good. They've looked pretty consistent.
Yeah.
But, ugh, the Mavs last night, as soon as I saw the first opening bucket be a Cooper Flag chuck,
yeah,
to a Derek Lively dunk, ooh.
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 Ooh, mama.
And then they threw it to PJ. PJ threw that down. And Anthony Davis threw it down, and I was looking a little worried. The Raptors have been looking really good, though, I will say, for a team that I think both of us didn't expect to be. I expect them to win every time.
Obviously, yeah.
But they look really, really, really polished. I know they're 1-2 right now, but, I mean, there's new faces on the team.
No.
And it just comes to executing at the end of the games. We've been competing throughout the entire game, and then the fourth quarter comes and it looks like we need to figure out who our closer is. Nope. Scotty looked really good, scoring close to 30 points last night, if not 30 points.
I think he had 33. But it sucks, yeah, that, I mean, for you guys that, you know, Dallas really woke up against y'all, but it's, yeah, like it's also nice, I think, to see good signs from Cooper and Anthony Davis, because inadvertently I watched their first two games because they played the Spurs and then they played the Wizards.
Yeah.
And I thought Cooper was like, Cooper's operating as a full-on starting point guard right now.
That's
which is crazy because, yeah, he's never really played that position.
Yeah, he's a big body. He's a forward. He's a true and true forward.
And you're coming in as a hyped-up rookie who's going to play point guard, therefore bring the ball up. The pressure he's had in the backcourt has been insane. Like, people want to really make him feel like he's, you know, feel scared.
Yeah.
And especially against the Spurs, it was like he didn't really know where to operate, which makes so much sense.
Yeah, because that's a kind of no one wants to go in the paint with Wemby. Let's go back to glazing Wemby, actually. You know what? Stop talking about
stop episode.
Else.
No, but it's like I think it's tough for him because it's a different way to see the game because you're on different parts of the floor. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And it's also defensively, it's different assignments. Now you're guarding, you know, guards who make plays, want to get 2 feet into the paint, or you're going to drive at your hip constantly. And it's
been
hard for Cooper Flagg's development. But if they lean into this, and it looks like Jason Kidd is really leaning into this, wins or losses aside, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it'd be really good for his development, right? And they're going to give him plenty of reps. It's the first time I feel like against the Raptors, I only saw the stats, I didn't see the game, but where he had an efficient game and it looked like it the whole team was happening. And I think also having D'Angelo Russell finally having a good game helps him.
Yeah, it wasn't good for my sanity
for
when
sure.
I was watching it.
The first two games of D'Angelo's Dallas career has been horrendous. Yeah. And now him waking up will definitely help his development, you know?
Yeah, and I think they're starting to trust him. I heard last night the commentator said after halftime of, not the game that just happened, but before they played the Raptors, they did not play D'Angelo Russell in the second half of the game.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't trust him.
Against the Wizards. They brought like
there you go.
Jaden Hardy, Brandon Williams, random guys.
Shout out to the Wizards.
Yeah, you know what? Listen, we'll get into the Raptors first before we talk about the Wizards. But
I want to say, when it comes to the Raptors, what I was really surprised by, even if in the first game we didn't shoot particularly well.
Yeah, 6 for 35.
Yeah.
From three.
But that's also, yeah, no, for the whole game. But even the beginning of the year, like I don't think we can look at someone's or a team's three-point shooting until about 2-3 weeks in, and then we can start really being concerned. Obviously, the NBA season is 82 games.
Yeah.
Like, people can find their shot and find their rhythm, and you know, it doesn't really. We don't know what the team is going to be until really mid-season when these guys look super comfortable.
For sure.
But off of three games, I will say, I really, really, really am quite content with the look of the squad and the feel of the squad and how happy they seem to be with each other. Like, yeah. The passing has been really good, which is something we were missing. It seems like Darko is really trying to play more swing the rock, and a lot quicker. I mean, a lot quicker. And I mean by that, that Emmanuel quickly is running and sprinting down the court every single game.
That first game was insane. I tuned into the first, I literally tuned into the game, felt overwhelmed.
Yeah.
It was so back and forth, and it was insane. I mean, they scored 100 and almost 140 points while only making six threes. That's insane.
And I think also RJ, not so much RJ, sorry, Brandon Ingram, Scotty, both those guys are kind of mid-range guys. Brandon Ingram obviously can stretch the floor and shoot the three. We saw that in the Dallas game. We saw that in the Bucks game. But Scotty looks a little comfortable. He's still doing pull-up threes, which is funny. He made a lot of them. In my mind, I saw one go in, and I was like, he made 20. But I really am most excited about how Brandon Ingram looks like he's just a plug-and-play player. And I know plug-and-play has been the concept with KD. Like, you see them on all the lists all the time where it's like, who can just go in and play anywhere? You know what Brandon Ingram's nickname was? It was Micro KD, right? Mm-hmm. Like, his bag is so deep. He looks so comfortable, and he looks relaxed the whole game. The beginning of the first half of the Bucks game, too, I was like, oh, my God. I was unking out. I was about to go because the Blue Jays, shout out the Blue Jays. I want us to win another Toronto baseball thing. But the amount of steals, the defense that we were able to create in the first half of the Bucks game, the Bucks do not have a lot of good like
ball handlers.
So that's a little unfair. And I know their passing is a little stiff ever since Kevin Porter Jr. went down. But I don't know. All I'm trying to say is that it's too early to make any clear statements.
Yeah.
Other than this team looks really exciting, and we haven't lost. When we lost, we didn't get super blown out, right? So,
well, I mean,
we lost the Bucks game by
20, I think.
No. Was it really 20?
It was. I think it was 20.
Never mind.
No, I agree. I agree with you, like the things you're saying. I think there's a lot to like about this Raptors team, but for me, there is a couple knocks. The shooting hasn't come around, and I'm saying this purely from the looks you're getting.
Yep.
In my mind, the people that are supposed to be helping you with three-pointers, Grady Dick, Jamison Battle.
Yep.
Jamison Battle hasn't played enough. When he did get into the game, he really showed why he should be getting more minutes.
That was the first thing I thought.
No, but for sure, when Darko put him in, I think he went 3 for 3 in like 7 minutes.
Well, he shot 41% on his rookie season from three, and his shot looks like mechanical.
Yeah, and my problem with Grady Dick is, you know how the usual phrase goes, don't settle, right? Get in the paint.
Yeah.
Him, settle, bro. Just like, settle. I see him wanted to, Corey Kispert, if you guys know from the Wizards, is a pro at that. The dude is a white shooter, white three-point shooter, bro. Duncan Robinson, that's your role. Stop pump faking, trying to get into the rim. I seen Grady Dink try to get into the rim with Giannis.
I've seen him try to yam so many times.
Stop. That is not you, and that's okay. You're going to have to take tough, sometimes contested threes because you're a three-point shooter.
And his shot form is gorgeous,
frustrating. He needs to take more. And another thing I've been really happy about is Jamal Shedd's improvement. Coming off the bench, he's been really, really good, and that's really, really, like, impressive.
If you want me to talk for an hour, I will tell you about how much I love Jamal Shedd.
Him and his small guards, Kyle Lowry, Davion Mitchell, Jamal Shedd.
But I also think that this is where I struggle to when we're talking about like dogs and giving it your full effort. And clearly, Emmanuel Quickly looks like he's got legs under him. He was injured quite a lot last season. I think you can tell that he's feeling refreshed.
Yeah.
But Pitbull dog Jamal Shedd, like grabbing steals, running down the court. Like, oh, I get so excited when I see a guard like that that just clearly has so much energy to be small.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a Raptors fan. I've had small guards my entire career of watching Raptors. But just willing to do the dirty work.
Yeah.
Right? And I think also, even last night, Grady Dick in the passing lanes, right?
Yeah.
Watching small, like, but the effort plays there and being pissed that you missed throwing the ball behind your head by an inch, right? And it goes out, right? Because you're, you know, I'm trying to point the picture. You're getting in the passing lane. You smack the ball. You try to tip it back in. It doesn't go back in. But there's a lot of effort. There's a lot of, there's a youth movement. I think the Raptors will be fine.
Yeah, we'll give them time.
And I think they'll be fine. My worries about shooting also come with not having, you know, like a go-to three-point shooter, which would unlock this offense, I think, entirely. If you start Grady Dick or Jameson Battle, it makes more sense, but you're paying a bunch of guys to start, which is tough.
But we'll see how they look in you know, the following week, and I think it still needs time to gel.
Yeah, and also, all of this is just me being excited.
Yeah.
There's not, like, even I could analyze every single play from the first three games, but it might be entirely different next week.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so, anyways, Wizards time.
I think we'll get in a quick word about the Wizards and then talk about, you know, the big dogs of the league.
No, get into the Wizards.
I will. I mean, I try not to get overexcited because that after that Dallas game, I'm sorry for blowing up your phone, Max, and the group chat. I got so excited because it looks like Keyshawn George has arrived. What did I say? Do your research on my brother, Keyshawn George. He has just been so impressive.
Quick release sniper. That shot form is gorgeous.
Every on-ball rep has been so impressive, and it looks like it could be so sustainable as well. I've loved the management from Brian Keefe with everybody's minutes, how he's brought in our rookie Trey Johnson, who's averaged 16 points, 42% from three. This team is nice. This team is really, really nice. Alex Saar has stopped taking threes and is going in the paint. He went 5-for-6 against AD, right? I'm so happy with this youth movement from the Wizards. Bub Carrington has struggled a lot to play the full-time point guard role. He really can't get in the paint. It's actually crazy. But his his defense and commitment, and especially him being a floor general, has been consistent. And I'm just really happy, really, really happy. I've gotten that joy to watch the Wizards again, and I'm just really happy to see how it's all going to develop. And even last night, Keyshawn George fouled out and looked just so mad, like so angry. But Will Riley came in, gave you 10 good minutes. You're Justin Champagne, come in, give you 5 good minutes.
Yeah,
because this is a really good group, and we got so many young guys that want to compete. And even the incorporation of Cam Whitmore, who
I was going to say is probably your biggest question mark, but I think it's been
tough because when he gets in the paint, he's so good.
Yeah,
and there's also been a couple worries about his attitude within the
group. That's what I was going to
get
more into.
Also, I think people are fishing for it. He's a competitor. And he's been known to have attitude problems, so people are just kind of like, you know, hyper-fixating on that. But Brian Keefe's going to let him know when he comes in the game. Did you know that statistically he has more shots per minute than Curry, KD, all the greats? Yeah, because he just gets in the game and he starts gunning. Right?
Because he's trying to get buckets.
But it's okay. It's okay because in transition, he's so tough. When he gets in the paint, he's 250. He is 250 pounds. When he gets in the paint, he's so tough.
Yeah.
But sometimes he want to settle for step-back threes, and he don't care if he takes three in a row. But that is a problem, right? Because when you get in the game, not only you got to score, that's your job, but that's not your only job. But it's gonna take reps. He's settling into a role, which he hasn't had in the NBA. He's been a garbage time minute guy for Ever since, ever since he came in the league, right?
Yeah.
And so now he's learning how to have a role, and he's gonna need to learn how to keep it. Because if not, we got people coming back. Bilal's gonna come back. There's a wing spot that's gonna stop.
Yeah, like, and being, and, you know, and fed. that's a big spot to come back, because a lot of people, I don't know how many I know, but there's one right in front of me, big Bilal fan.
But he's right now, either we put one of our two veterans that are starting, CJ and Chris, on the bench.
Yeah,
or we bring Bilal off. Or we bring Bilal off the bench, because Keyshawn's not moving.
Yeah,
Keyshawn's like,
and I think not that moving. I think that's pretty solid, like rock solid. I don't think Chris Middleton at his age would mind coming off the bench.
And just our vets.
Yeah,
Chris Middleton, CJ McCollum.
Well, CJ McCollum had 29 last night.
Yeah, and he's been struggling. Right? The first two games, he struggled so much.
No, because he was on the waiver wire on fantasy, and I'm looking at this and I'm going, why is he on the waiver wire?
They've been so great, even with their minutes. Some games they'll play 15 minutes. Some other games they'll play 30 minutes.
Yep.
And it's just, it's been so nice to have him on the squad. But anyways, guys, hey, just tune into a Wizards game once in a while. You'll get to see the real talent that's on the team.
Our ethos. I've said our ethos about 7 times this episode, and it's been a different topic. But watch basketball. Watch basketball.
And it's been so enjoyable to watch basketball all week.
Especially,
I feel like, my two top teams that I've liked watching, OKC and the Warriors.
Oh, the Warriors have been so fun. Before we get into it, though, I want to say Markieff performances of the week. Or Markieff.
I thought you were going to talk about Markieff Morris.
Yeah, I was going to say Markieff. Markieff. Performances of the week. Austin Reeves dropping a career high 51 points, 11 rebounds, and 9 assists last night.
Yeah, he has as many 40-point games as a Laker, as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Will Chamberlain. Not Will Chamberlain, sorry. It was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and somebody else.
Yeah, I was going to say, goddamn.
it was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and somebody else, but still insane.
And, I mean, he looked really, really good with Luka out of the starting lineup.
He always does that, though. He's like, he's so steady, and he's like,
Hillbilly Kobe.
No, y'all not playing? All right, I got it.
Yeah.
Right? And the Lakers have looked a bit rough.
And I think it's hard because when we were talking about the Lakers before the season started, we were a little skeptical about the... Yeah, because it feels like you have talent, but all the pieces don't fit quite well.
I feel like you don't have that much talent.
Well, like...
Apart from Luka, Austin, LeBron, maybe Rui. Jake LaRavia?
The thing is that you have the concept of DeAndre Ayton. But without the actuality.
He's picked it up. I got to say, he's picked it up a little bit. Like, we'll be fair in that sense. But it's still harsh.
Like, what were your expectations? Because mine were that he would be...
At first, I was like, okay, he's back 20 and 10 every night.
Yeah.
Then did some research, kind of, you know, talk myself out of you know, who Ayton really is. And it's showed. In the first game, Lakers, I'd never seen a fan base turn on a player so fast.
Yeah.
After the first game
Russell
against
Westbrook, but
well, maybe yeah. Shout out to Brody, by the way.
Shout out Brody in Sacramento. We all saw that cross up.
Yeah,
you looked at
what
you
I love. At him. We'll do a little parenthesis just real quick. What I love about Russell Westbrook, he is the ninth man on the Kings roster right now, and he hasn't had like a marquee game yet. Plays his old team, has 18 points right away, and he always does this.
Yeah,
always against his old teams, he always turns up. But anyway, it's been it's effort. Defense, everything is just...
What's everything that you expect that Ayton is not going to do? He's not doing it, and which is... People are like, oh, we signed the guy? Like, Lakers fans like, we signed Ayton, and he's doing the thing
that we actually,
expect him to do, and he's not doing the thing. And it's like, yeah, no, duh. Like, why do you think Portland wanted to get rid of him? Why do you think Monty Williams wanted to quit coaching forever?
Yeah.
Right? Anyways, Lakers, Luka looks... fantastic. What did he sprain his ankle? No, it was actually something for multiple weeks.
I don't know. I just saw he didn't play last night.
Yeah,
I mean, it was predictable when your star player has to play 41 minutes in your first game for you to even stay in the game.
Yeah.
Please.
Well, actually, marquee performances to every Luka Doncic game, every Wembanyama game,
every SGA game.
OKC.
Must I say also every Keyshawn George game?
Every Jamal Shedd game.
But I mean, the era, yeah. Okay, see. The era, all right, go home, y'all.
Dynasty.
Go home, y'all. Don't even make it to the playoffs. They don't matter.
When Chet started the first game.
You caught it.
I told y'all, I think the NBA are going to give him most improved player.
25-10 so far. Ugh. 25-10.
I mean, he just looks so ready. Because there is a hole in the offense without J-Dub on the floor. I was going to say, when J-Dub will be on the floor, you're not going to have Shea having to score 50 points a game just to get to double overtime. Which, by the way, first time in NBA history, we've started a season with two teams, OKC, one team, going into two double overtime, not one.
That'll make no sense.
Double overtime games. We've been seeing an increase in free throws. You can give your take at home, Mr. Viewer Man or Person.
I feel like they've been letting them play. That's what I feel like. I don't feel like it's been.
I think I flip flop because the games have been fantastic.
Yeah.
However, 90 free throws, OKC, Indiana, a little crazy. However, still very entertaining. I will say. Austin Reeves scoring 51 points with only making 12 shots and going 21 for 22 at the free throw line is a little insane.
OKC, as you said, it's two overtime games coming off a championship.
Shea looked gassed.
But I got to say, in both those games, it looked like at some point you're like, all right, well, you know, you competed. You're tired. It's the first week of the season. You're going to give it up. And they just find a way.
Every time.
They just find a way. And even their rookies, Barnizer and Youngblood, cracking that rotation already. Yeah.
Also, Youngblood jersey number 3 might be the hardest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
So hard that it made Shai's like Instagram post. But that's what's scary about it is that it don't matter who's on the floor. It doesn't matter who's on the floor. AJ Mitchell could go from playing 5 minutes to 26 minutes to 30 minutes. Carson, it doesn't matter who steps on that floor.
Yeah.
There's just an identity there, and that's what great teams do, right? They have continuity, and it's going to get scary for the league. These dudes are young. And these dudes, they want to win again, bro.
And that's what I was saying, where I think they could go for 70 wins this season.
And that wouldn't even be crazy.
And it wouldn't be crazy. That's not crazy. It's not ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous to say that.
But just because last season, amazing, but clearly – their talent bailed them out a few times with Chet not having the greatest postseason. And also, they didn't have a full year as a team to be a team.
Yeah.
This year, they had an entire championship run, an entire offseason to mesh and, I was going to say love each other.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, you're watching cohesion happen. That first game against Houston,
yeah,
who has the tallest lineup in NBA history.
Yes, sir.
They did go to double overtime, but they looked comfortable, right?
They did, yeah.
And they looked really good. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited to watch more OKC basketball. I mean, everyone can say whatever you want about Shea's free throws.
He earns them, though. I don't care what anybody says.
He earns them, and also down the stretch in that first game against Houston.
Even against the Pacers.
Of course, but impossible to stop. His mid-range looks like you're going to get two guys on the Death of the Mid-Range radio show to talk about Shea Gilgeous-Alexander's mid-range. But
why do we love him so much?
I wonder why.
He lives in my favorite place.
He looked like Kobe. The only thing that doesn't make him look like Kobe is that his shot form is different because his arms are so long that his hand goes way in front of him when he is shooting the ball. However, I think all of us wouldn't be surprised if he runs it back for MVP.
Yeah. It's going to be a tough race.
But there's so much talent right now. Anyways, I think I want to talk about – no, let's go to Ad, and then we'll get into Houston.
And also the Warriors, I hope.
Yeah, okay. Houston Warriors after the break.
That okay with you guys?
Is that okay? All right. Give your answer right now. Oh, good answer.
Join us every Tuesday night at midnight on CJLO for Floydian Slip. It's an hour of music by Pink Floyd. Pink, man, pink. is Craig Bailey, your host for an hour from the dark side of the moon. An hour of Pink Floyd, Floydian Slip, every Tuesday night at midnight, right here on 1690 AM CJLO. Learn more online at floydianslip.com.
Crossover Comics is celebrating its 13th anniversary with a huge sale. On October 24th, 25th, and 26th, if you spend $50 before tax, you'll get to spin the Orb of Possibility, a 20-sided die, and add whatever number comes up as a discount. That means if you roll a 20, you'll be getting 20% off your purchase. Members of Crossover Comics also get an additional 10% off their purchase. So if you want to test your luck, come on down to Crossover Comics, 3560 Notre Dame Street West, on the 24th, 25th, and 26th. We'll see you there. One roll per customer per day, and some exceptions apply.
Hi, it's Chapel Brown, and you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. My mama said nothing good happens
when it's late and you're dancing alone. Hello, hello, hello.
Welcome back
to Death of
a Mid-Range on CJLO
1690.
In Montreal.
Yay.
Or on Spotify if you think we look silly. Yes, sorry.
Well, look, you can't see us. They're looking at a phone which has a like a CJLO logo.
For reference, I am 6'9". nonchalant and an ad. Nope, I lost it. All right. Let's talk basketball. I wanted to get into how good the Warriors have looked. Yes, the unction this. They are old. Their back hurts, whatever. But they are good.
I'd be damned if those old, I can't say that word.
Old brothers
cannot. Wait. I lost it, bro. You fumbled
fault,
the chalantness.
You look silly now.
I look chalant.
But hopefully they can make it through a whole season because this has been some
it's been some
entertaining basketball.
And I will say, like, we look at the Nuggets. Like that first game, Warriors-Nuggets. First off, Jokic, even with a triple-double, I was like, dude, why do you look so slow and sluggish? Yeah, why'd you chuck 13 threes? He went 2 for 13 from 3.
I thought you were really, really harsh because I watched that game and I was like, I see what you mean. But I think it's just beginning of the season, him feeling it out,
yeah,
honestly.
And I think it was also... he was just frustrated that he couldn't make a three, and he just kept trying, which is a good trait. Until I'm watching Jokic take pointless, like almost step back contested threes, I'm like, Nikola,
like Nikola, come here,
please. Like, also just missing a couple reads, but anyways, Jokic is gonna be fine. I'm not worried about him, and I will not start panicking as a fantasy basketball manager who drafted him first.
Oh, that's why you're so harsh on him. The truth comes out. Some people have gambling problems. He has a problem with fantasy basketball.
You on it with the references today, bro?
But let's not that overshadow how good the Warriors have been.
I was trying to say there is that we're used to the Nuggets and Jokic having like this beautiful passing display, right? Oh, the unction Golden State Warriors ball movement was impeccable.
I'd say better than last year for them.
And it just looked so smooth. I mean, there wasn't... The reason why I'm saying this is the dichotomy in that game was I watched so many possessions where I watched Jamal Murray dribble, 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 run out the shot clock, and then brick. Mm-hmm. And then on the other end, and no one touches the ball in the possession, right? Then on the other end, seven players. There's only five on the court. Mm-hmm. Seven players touch the ball.
Yeah.
And you get into an open three for Jimmy Butler or Draymond Green or even Steph or every single person on the court had a comfortable time shooting because they were open, because they passed the ball incredibly well.
But I think the big connector and all that, and obviously he gets hated for his persona and everything, but Draymond Green, for me, has had a little revival in my esteem of him because he has been such a great connector for them, really, really helping connect in all three of the, like, kind of the big scores on the team. Talk about Curry, Kuminga, and Butler. Also want to give a big shout-out to Jonathan Kuminga, who has...
Oh, my God. The biggest shout-outs.
Despite everything people have been saying about him, and it's been true at times, he just put his head down and been a ball stopper. He's bought in. He's getting 2 feet into the paint and kicking out and going to get his, attacking the favorable matchup. He was dicing up Valanciunas when needed.
Absolutely.
He was dicing up DeAndre Ayton when needed. And I think it's been so impressive to see him buy in. And even when Moses Moody comes back, I think he'll keep being a starter. Also, their rookie, I think his name is Will Richards. It really shows that if you can fit a certain organization's identity, just like with the OKC Thunder, when people were like, yeah, but these rookies won't crack the rotation. Barton Iser and Youngblood did because they have that same identity.
Yep.
And Richards, same thing. He has that that Golden State like identity where he knows where to be.
Mm-hmm.
He always cuts at the right time,
yep.
Makes the spot-up threes, makes the right plays, gets the offensive rebound.
And even if he doesn't make all the threes, it is impressive to see how comfortable he looks shooting that shot.
No, for sure.
And it was really exciting that night to see the maturity of Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah.
I mean, when we're talking about Nick Richards being comfortable, Jonathan Kuminga looks so much more comfortable. He doesn't look like he's questioning himself. He looks like he's confident, and that's a good thing. I also think with the Draymond Green part, he looks his best when his teammates are confident and also playing well, and also when he's surrounded by talent, which he is now. Because you need Draymond Green on your team. Any NBA team with two very talented players, if you plug Draymond Green into that system, obviously him and Steph are like bread and butter,
but
he will make you open. He will do the things that allow all-stars to be all-stars or to create all-stars.
Mm-hmm.
He looked really good. And also it's nice to see – well, it's not nice to see because Draymond Green's jumper is not pretty. But it is good to see him shooting as many shots as he did.
He has to be willing. It's just – it's the truth of the league. You have to be willing to shoot, and he's probably the best short world decision maker in the world.
Yeah,
and it's so impressive. But look, we've been talking what 5 minutes about the Warriors.
Yeah,
we didn't even mention Curry or Butler.
Al Horford.
No, Curry Curry or Butler. That tells you how good this team has been collectively.
Great point.
Is what I'm trying to say. Is because it hasn't been on them. They've been great because of them. Yes, the stats like they're scoring the most points.
Yeah,
but it's because that base is so strong. Right, and they've really trusted that process of building out this roster, and it's all coming together.
And I think that also culminates in when you're looking at the game and you're a team having to play defense against the Golden State Warriors, you expect Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry to have allowed 30 points.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with Steph Curry when he shoots it from like half court.
I mean, when he's on. It don't even matter what you're doing.
But what I'm saying is that obviously, Steph Curry is always going to be loud when he's shooting deep threes. But when you look back at the stat sheet, you're like, wow, like he shot so many shots and he did so much and I didn't think about him.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? Because I was looking at the team, and as a defense, like it is crazy that you can watch Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry, who are some of the loudest buckets in the league, be like, oh, damn, they had that many points?
Yeah.
Right? Because the team looks so good.
Yeah.
And as a defense and as an observer, you're looking at everyone else.
And so enjoyable to watch as well. I must say. That's probably one of the teams I watch the most.
And Al Horford looks really comfortable. Really comfortable in that system. I don't need to get into the complexities of Al Horford, but I think they look great. Also, what we did is we talked about the Golden State Warriors in Denver Nuggets game without shouting out Aaron Gordon going 10 for 11 from three.
That was impressive.
I mean, I was watching that and I was like running back from work and the group chat kept blowing up. I was like, please, like I'm about to sit down and watch it. Like, stop telling me about it.
Also, just before we get out of here, I want to touch on the Houston Rockets. They're 0-3, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think they won a game yet.
No, they can't do it.
Because I know they lost to the Thunder, and then they lost to the Pistons, that I know. But regardless, they are
0-2.
They're 0-2, yeah, and they play tonight. But
they play the Brooklyn Nets, who also shout out Cam Thomas getting 40 points with no assists.
That was crazy. but yeah, the Rockets have looked stagnant. They've looked a bit of a mess. I must say they've looked a bit of a mess. It's helped that Alperen Şengün is really coming into his own as a 1B type of guy.
Yeah.
KD has stepped in, obviously, just being KD.
Yeah, and I think it will take a minute for players on the team to realize, hey, guys, to Kevin Durant, right?
Yeah. He's been a great vet. I think he's been a great vet, especially in that first game with the pass ahead Like, a lot of people, Tari Eason and Reed Shepard was coming in to hand it off to him.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, man, I got a mismatch. You got to give it to me right away.
Yeah.
You know? But he's been really vocal. And even in press conference, he was like, we don't need to worry. Like, we're just taking our time. But the point guard problem, it only accentuates if you don't win. It only accentuates also if you don't find a solution.
Yeah.
In those first two games, their offense has not looked good.
No, and it looked, like I said, when I watched, well, I told you when I watched the first OKC Houston game. I mean, OKC is one of the best defenses, like, ever.
Not an easy start, I must say. Right. Yeah, not an easy start.
But totally stagnant. And that comes with Amen Thompson trying to do the right thing, but that's not his role. He doesn't have that, like, perfect, well, not to say that any point guard has perfect vision, but he doesn't have, like, the point guard vision.
Yeah.
Right? Reed Shepard, I think, also will come along. It's
maybe
just
not right now. Not right now.
And maybe not even, like, fully this season.
Yeah.
Because it's too much pressure to put on him in a place where he already had a bunch of pressure on him. And looking at him on the court, he looks scared. He looks nervous. And I think it is unfair, the position that he's been put in, not by anybody's decision other than fate, right?
From DNP to, like, 30 minutes a game.
Because
or whatever.
When Fred VanVleet, probably the most important part of that Houston offense, gets injured, and you're looking around and you're saying, well, he's not ready.
Because I know you're like, Amen, go, right? Yep. And they gave him the whole preseason, Reed Shepard. Is it going to work? They saw that maybe it won't work. Amen has to go. But people have to realize being a point guard is really hard because you can make reads from a standstill point, and that's impressive. But point guards have to make reads with a live dribble going full speed.
And you have to shoot efficiently, and you have to be a rim.
For sure, but like once you go full speed, especially at the speed that Amen goes, if you miss that read, you miss that read. And now you still have a live dribble. Yep. So you're liable to get a turnover. Yep. And that's what's it's
hard. That's a very good point.
And people have to realize it's not easy. It's not. People are usually like, oh, Amen is quick. He gets 2 feet into the paint. It should be a seamless transition. It's not.
No.
It's much different to have those on-ball reps constantly. And also, hey, Amen might not be a shooter.
No, and I think
he
that's
might
a
just
reality.
Not be a stretcher. You know, he can't really stretch the floor.
His shot form improved looking, but it's very flat, and it's very, like, not in a good way mechanical, right? Because it just looks stiff. But I think the Houston Rockets are going to have to go back to realizing that, okay, Kevin Durant and Alperen Sengun need to run this offense as point center and point forward.
Mm-hmm.
At the entire starting lineup, besides maybe Steven Adams, needs to average 5 assists for this to really work.
Yeah, by committee type. But yeah.
Right? Like, all of them need to be averaging 4, 5, 6, 7 assists, right? Or this team will be stagnant and rely on ISO buckets that are okay when you have Kevin Durant and Alperen Sengun, because, I mean, Alperen Sengun can body any person in front of him.
But
he does
not
care.
Sustainable.
But it's totally not sustainable.
Especially if you want to, if your objective is to compete with the big dogs, you need to have a diversified offense. Yeah. Corey Joseph is available, by the way, guys. He started for the Magic in the playoffs last year, guys. He's ready.
I will say though, it is, they're 0-2. If they were 0-8, I would start maybe getting close to pushing the alarm button.
Yeah, for sure.
But like KD said, I'm not particularly worried. There's enough talent to bail this team out, and they will find ways to play make. Mm-hmm. And it just matters on, hey guys, like, we got this.
Yeah.
Like, we need to lock in and we will be fine. We were told we were going to be this high. We actually have to do it, and we have the talent to do it.
Yeah.
So don't worry.
Also, Ime, I can also give you some spot minutes, you know. A lot of AAU experience over here.
Yeah, 0 for 11.
You know, I'm available until November 30th, and I got to go back to men's league. But, you know, Ime, I'm staying put.
I will say, right before we get out here, with like Josh Okogie, very impressive how he's been able to play in those minutes.
Sure.
When DFS comes back,
it's
going to be a whole different story.
It will be.
Anyways, with 40 seconds left,
can I do a little shout out?
Yes.
I know I did it last week. I'll do it again this week. October is a busy month in my life for birthdays, and today's a very special birthday. It's my day one. Elias's birthday. Just want to shout you out, brother. Have a happy birthday, man.
Happy
birthday
from Death of the Mid Range.
Yeah. Love you, man. Hope you have a hope you have a good day, man. That's all. That's all. I just wanted to shout you out. That's
and
all.
We appreciate you guys listening.
Yeah, and we'll see you next week.
And
please,
please, please, please, watch basketball.
Yes, sir. Ciao. No one knows you.